podcast with me.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. It already feels different on this side.
Does it? Yeah.
Yeah. Last time I had a beer in my hand. This time I'm at the beginning of a week where I'm trying to not drink alcohol.
Oh, it's one of those.
Got to bounce things out.
You know, Larry and I were talking about this recently, I think, where, like, I think we're all kind of coming up on that point here and there where we're like, okay, well, you know, this should be, like, let's make sure we don't overdo it. Let's make sure we don't get too gluttonous or too used to, you know, the it's 5 o'clock somewhere concept coming up every day. But then we also just get to a certain point in the day where we're like, well, why? Like, why? I got nothing else to do right now but to drink this beer, and it's so cold and it's right there in my fridge and I've already paid for it. Like, why not? So I'm proud of you, but I am not going to join you in this endeavor.
I don't think I'm going to make it through the whole week, but I'm going to give it a couple of days. And okay. I think part of it is because I want to feel a little bit less guilty when I have, like, you know, 3 or 4 tequila drinks in a night instead of 1 or 2. And I think the other thing is I kind of want to bake in that feeling of having a weekend. And so I find if I have like a cider or two every day of the week, then on Friday or Saturday, when I have like this extra bit of energy somehow, which inevitably happens because I still, you know, I have 30 something years of practice of telling myself what the weekend is. So I want to be able to like save a little bit of energy for the weekend.
I respect that. That makes sense. Yeah. You can't, the highs don't feel high unless there's a low or a relative low to compare it to.
Yeah.
So what have you been doing on your weekends? What are you doing with all the extra energy?
Oh man. I mean, definitely watching a lot of things.
Sure.
So that's definitely been a part of our schedule. And Angelica is, my girlfriend. She's not as familiar with a lot of old 80s and 90s movies as I am because she grew up in Japan and Spain. And so basically I made this list of like 100 movies that she has to watch. And I feel like she's probably 1 or 2 movies away from having seen all those movies.
Oh, wow. Nice. Yeah. Hat tip to Angelica. That's impressive.
Yeah.
I've started watching more Hitchcock things lately, which is fun because there's so much to mine. And I watched Psycho for the first time the other day.
Ooh.
And hey,
did you watch it at night?
I did. Yeah, I did. And I was supposed to be watching it with somebody who rudely fell asleep before anything really happened at all. So I had to, I had to cope with that one on my own. But it was pretty good. I think I'm ready for more. I think I can go back
that's very brave because she had never seen House of Cards. So we binged on the first 4 seasons of House of Cards a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And they were starting to like infiltrate our dreams.
And oh yeah.
We
my dreams have been
like,
messed up.
Yeah. We had to make a rule. We were like, okay, we have to watch this during the day. We can't watch it at night anymore because it starts getting into your dreams and you're like waking up, like feeling disturbed and stuff. So it's amazing you watch Psycho.
Oh yeah. I know. I wasn't really that pleased with my decision, and I would do things differently if I revisit the genre, but you know, it can be done. Is it advisable? Who's to say? But yeah, you know, I'm trying to spend as much time as I can enjoying cinema, but also trying to be outside. I started a garden recently. I know you have been getting lots of vitamin D in these days. Did you go to Enchanted Rock this week?
Yes, yesterday. For the second time in this, you know, couple of months since the shutdown started here in Austin, we rented a car and we took the, you know, probably about an hour and a half or so drive out to Enchanted Rock, which is an amazing state park. It's this huge, you know, mountain. It's almost hard to describe, but I'll just say that it looks like Mars or something that would be on Mars. And so we went, it's an awesome hike. So we went out there and it's kind of perfect that we timed it for yesterday because this whole week starting today through pretty much Monday, it's supposed to be like torrential downpour all week.
I know the weather app for Austin is just a thunderbolt icon for every single day.
I know.
And for like 10 straight days.
I know. I
mean, so yeah, you did get.
And it's kind of okay because the governor of Texas is trying to reopen things and while I understand there's a need to reopen certain things, I think that people are rushing to stop social distancing. And mm-hmm. already I've seen a couple of restaurants that we walk by and people, they're like packed. And
wait, the restaurants are open?
Yes. Yes.
And they're packed.
And so I feel like if it's pouring rain the next, 10 days or something, then I think that'll prevent people from doing that, because I'm really worried about this kind of second wave situation here locally and not only just, around the globe. So I really was like, man, this rain probably came right on time because it's right at the stage where the state's trying to reopen. And I think it's premature still.
Yeah, hopefully. I hope you're right. But, because I live in Seattle, but I grew up in Austin. I lived there for like 17 years. People here are so sick of rain and just really like can not be bothered to even like acknowledge it ever. But I'm not at all, because I like to tell people, I remember times in Texas where it would rain. And when I used to work in an office, we would like literally gather around the window in the office just to watch the rain, because it's just, it's a different event. And it also is a welcome, respite from the heat sometimes. So I hope you're right about this, keeping people indoors and making sure that everybody makes the right choices as far as social distancing is concerned. But it wouldn't surprise me if there was a lot of rain parties going on. But anyway, so glad that you're here, because we're going to be talking to somebody who we've been working with for quite a while, but also someone who you, I think, know on a friendly level, who's just a wonderful addition to our local advisory board. Yep. She lives in New York City. She also, she calls herself a Chai Yorker. Is that what she says? Yeah. Chai Yorker? She splits her time between there and Chicago. That is mother and creative executive Susan Morgan. Let's give her a call, see how she's holding it down in New York.
Let's do it.
Hey, Susan, how you doing?
Hey, do you want to know the honest answer?
let's hit the ground running. Let's do it. What's the honest answer?
I'm good. I'm well, safe, trying to stay sane.
Mm-hmm. Where's the but? I feel like there's a but coming here.
What I like is the hesitation in her voice, which means that even while things are good and okay, it maybe couldn't be.
Oh, I mean, I'm like spiraling on the inside, but.
Well, give us a little more insight. What's that like? What do you... Give us the top five adjectives you have to describe your days lately, give or take.
Oh, wow. Hectic.
Okay.
I don't think it's nonstop even an adjective.
Yeah, it is an adjective. Yeah.
Nonstop. A little redundant.
Mm-hmm.
Dare I say? Super busy. What would be another one? I don't have one.
Man, it sounds like life in New York, like any normal time.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
Except for I'm in my apartment.
Yeah.
And I haven't left for, 59 days?
That's 59 amazing. Days.
Well, four times within 59 days.
So those four times, what did you do?
Oh, wow. I'm really putting myself out there. The first mm-hmm. two times we left the house, literally did not leave the car. We just went for drives.
Uh-huh.
We're lucky enough to have a car in New York with parking underground in our apartment. Oh. So just for perspective, I'm like, literally the first two times I did not leave our own domain, whether it was the apartment or the car. And we just went for a drive. First time we just drove through Brooklyn. The second time we drove through Soho, because I just wanted to see what it looked like. It was empty. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that was it. It was like a 3-hour drive.
Was it cool looking for it to be empty, or was it just creepy?
It was eerie. It was eerie. I mean, so I've been in New York, I can't believe this is going on 11 years. The last time I saw the city look anywhere like this was right after Sandy. It was just different, because I think the city pretty much stopped.
That's now Hurricane Sandy, for those of you outside the U.S.
Hurricane Sandy, yep. But like, you know, there's activity here or there, but it's just a very weird vibe, you know? And like the, you know, stores are boarded up. It's weird.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
But it seems like it, I mean, I don't know how much, how useful this information is, but the graphs that I see, like New York Times is doing these, you know, obsessive data compilations where they're tracking like every case in the United States and in
the
world that they can. And even I'm here in Seattle and, you know, Seattle got hit first. It didn't get hit hardest, but it got hit first. And
I forgot about that.
Already.
Yeah. Gotta be proud of something. But yeah, no, I mean, so, and we did like, everybody was sort of aggressive about like flattening the curve and blah, blah, blah. And that worked for a while, but it's definitely gotten to people and you can see it everywhere you go. People are starting to come out again. People are restless. Mm-hmm. And so the numbers here are going back up again, but the numbers in New York have really just taken a nosedive. So what you're doing is working. If it's any consolation.
I hope so. I will admit like the first few weeks I was obsessive with like watching the news, like would literally wake up, read New York Times, read it before I went to sleep, really just like keeping track of everything. And then I realized that it was you know driving me crazy and I needed to create some sort of separation to get through this like for the long haul. So I stopped watching. You know, I'll watch like Governor Cuomo every other day, you know. Mayor de Blasio, I'll watch him every other day, but just consuming it day in, day out, it was like so daunting. And I think just overall, like it was just overwhelming, you know?
Totally.
I'm like, I've got to be able to control something so I can control the kind of media intake around it all.
Right.
So.
And at a certain point, it's not constructive to just be like, if you're doing everything you can in your actions and your behavior to stay safe, then consuming news ad nauseum is just going to drive you crazy. It's not going to make you like a more informed or better citizen. But I have one really quick question about Mayor de Blasio, or excuse me, Cuomo. Do you think, are his nipples pierced?
Wait, is that a thing?
Did you guys not see this? He kept, there was one or more briefings that he was doing, you know, his whole like, every day with the PowerPoint thing that's on the news. And he was wearing a white polo shirt. And like, if it's not a piercing situation, I don't know what it is.
Whoa. Wow.
What planet are y'all living on?
Maybe it's, I don't know if you watch the show Billions on Showtime, but maybe it's some kind of S&M thing that we don't know about.
I mean...
Yeah, I definitely don't know about it.
he's the current political thirst trap, though, right? So like, people. Well,
I think Gavin Newsom's probably up there too.
Gavin Newsom's doing all right in that regard. That's true. That's true.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they were, but I'm gonna be paying attention to it.
Please do. Please do.
Yeah.
And then we can have you on the podcast again soon
to talk about.
We can follow up. Yeah.
100%. So I want to hear a little bit more. It is rare, I think, for people to have cars living in New York. And you said you've gotten out for some drives. I'm here in Austin, obviously, and don't own a car in Austin. So it's kind of a weird thing where I'm a rare person in Austin that doesn't own a car. You're a rare person in New York that does have a car. Yeah. And but yesterday was the second day in this 2 months or so that we rented a car and we went for a drive. And it is eerie kind of going downtown and whatnot, but it felt nice to just get like even 5 minutes away from home.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if you start to think about, you know, sometime after the stay at home orders and you start thinking about where you're going to go, if you're going to go anywhere, have you started thinking about like where you would go, if you would kind of, like we've previously talked about, oh, maybe we're going to start doing more road trips instead of flying places and things like that. Like, what are you thinking about that?
So it's funny. We were just talking about that earlier. For me, like water is like the ultimate, like it's kind of like where I release and kind of feel centered, grounded, what have you, you know, growing up in Chicago, I grew up on the East Side, Lake Michigan was right there. I literally saw it every single day. So I'm always like, how can we get to a beach? you know, whether it's, you know, warm out or not. Like, I just like to see water and be around water. Mm-hmm. You know, I think traveling is definitely going to look very different from us for us moving forward. Last year, maybe we went on like 20 plus some trips.
Wow.
And flew to most of those destinations outside of like DC, where my boyfriend's from, Richmond, where his mom currently is. My mother's in the Poconos. So like those were road trips, which we enjoyed. It was just easy to, you know, get out and kind of be in control of our time. So mm-hmm. I definitely think we'll do a lot of that. I mean, I'm running to my mother the minute I can, and I'm sure he wants to see his mom too. Mm. So we're probably headed to, you know, DC, Richmond, Poconos. Yeah.
Your mom still in Chicago?
No. She's in the Poconos.
Oh, she's in the Poconos. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So she's like an hour and a half out in PA.
Yeah. Oh, that's a nice trip, especially in the summer.
Yeah, it's not a bad drive. You know, not a ton to do out there unless you're like resort heavy. But, you know, for me, like the reason why I think I've lasted in New York for so long is because I get to get out.
Yeah.
You know, so those overwhelming, you know, months like have been broken up with numerous trips, whether it's for work or personal. And it's just like kept me, I think, I've been able to manage life in New York a little bit better.
That's nice. I'm curious if you had to stay in the city but go to the beach, what's your favorite beach? Like, you know, you can get to on the train.
Oh gosh, I don't have a favorite New York beach. I mean, I think that's something we're still kind of discovering. We went to one, obviously I have the little one. So like now the attractions and things like that that we're looking for are a little different. So we're, you know, instead of going like Coney Island or Reese Beach or Far Rockaway, we're going a little further into Long Island. I can't mm-hmm. remember the name of it. It might actually be Long Beach. I'll have to fact check that. But we like that area. It's pretty cool.
Well, that's good. You've got little hidden hideaways in the city that you are, I'm sure, are missing right now, but they're not going anywhere, most likely.
I'm missing all things right now.
Yeah. Well, like, give us a taste of what some of those are. Yeah. What's on your mind?
I mean, I never thought that like I would actually miss the office, you know?
What part of town is your office in?
So we just moved down to Wall Street, literally right across from the stock exchange. Before that we were in Nomad.
Mm-hmm. I think I came to that office and saw you once.
Yep. Yeah, we were there for like 6-7 years, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So we're down in Wall Street, completely different vibe. But you know, I think when you don't have you can't follow your routine anymore, you miss it. You know what I mean? So like, I even miss like the train. You know, just like mm-hmm. my commute. Like you think about the things that you're able to get done, you know, on your commute, that like now that you're just at home, it's like, okay, there's this kind of this missing now 30 minutes of my day where, you know, I caught up on my news or mindless stuff, you know what I mean? That I don't have that anymore. So I kind of miss that element. You know, I miss coffee runs during the day at the office, you know, lunch options and things like that. So it's weird, the things that it's the small things that I miss.
So you're not.
Go ahead.
I was going to say you're not going to convert over to the stay at work from home lifestyle that we champion here at Localer anytime soon.
I mean, I thought that I would be the one to like support working from home. I think it's this, like, it's nice to have an option, but day after day, nah, it's not for me.
Okay, fair.
Yeah.
Well, my what I'm thinking too is, I mean, you can talk about Epiphany some more if you'd like, but you know, from what I know about what you do professionally, what kind of company you work for, I feel like there is a certain culture and energy that you get from being around Absolutely. Each other. It's different than I think a situation where, I don't know, let's say you work for a accounting or a law firm and you're spending most of your day kind of interacting with your clients maybe, or that type of thing. Whereas in what you're doing, it's like, you're in the business of culture and there's so much value that you get from being together. Yeah. And so how has that transition worked in terms of doing your work, but then kind of having this virtual kind of situation going on the last couple of months?
I mean, surprisingly, we hit the ground running. Like, I remember the last Friday in the office, you know, everyone took their laptops home. It was like, hey, you know, we'll be at home for 2 weeks. You know, we'll see you soon. Not knowing what the future not knowing what the future held. And I hate to throw out that buzzword pivot, but we were able to do that pretty quickly. And I mean, every meeting or what have you is either on Zoom, Uber conference, Microsoft Teams, you name it. And we're probably more connected now than we were even in our office. I mean, I think nothing's going to replace that, you know, in real life interaction. And I think the ability to have just conversations on the go, you know, like the conversations at the water cooler that I think really, when you think about like some of the larger ideas or big moments happen from those small interactions, like that's what you don't get. But we've been doing a really good job of staying connected. I mean, I'm FaceTiming with people that I probably would never FaceTime with before. And you know, everything is just on the screen. So we're making it work.
Here's another question about the kind of office versus home work situation. What is something from your home situation right now that if you were to go back into the office, you would want to take with you to the office that you didn't have before?
Oh.
Like for me, I would say, I notice when I go to the grocery store, I'll buy some juice, like I'll buy some lemonade or orange juice or something. And because I'm the only person that drinks it here at the house, I don't pour it in a cup. You know, I just drink it. and you know, I couldn't take that to work, right? Even if I put my name on it, I'm sure someone else would be like, oh, well, I can probably get some orange juice right out of here.
Not if they saw you drinking from it all the time.
Oh, that's funny. I'm probably going to contradict myself because I just said that I miss all my lunch runs. But like, obviously everyone's cooking, you know, there's a little bit of fatigue there in terms of just having to prepare every single meal. But I think like I'm eating better now that I'm at home, like mm-hmm. actually having three meals a day, you know, obviously I got to make sure this little one eats as well. But I think just being able, and maybe that's just better meal planning that I should have been doing at the office. But I think actually being able to sit down and kind of enjoy your meal, you know, I was probably eating at my desk, which I still am, but just being able to carve out a little bit more time for the other things that have to happen or be taken care of in life, that when you're in the office, sometimes you just don't get a chance to do it, mm-hmm. but now you're at home and it's like right in front of you. So, that might be something that I bring back, but I don't know, maybe connecting with people a little bit more throughout the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 I mean, like you said, you're FaceTiming people you never would have before. This is a perfect example. Like we're on this call right now and we're looking at, this is not time we would spend hanging out before. So there are silver linings. Hey, yeah. I'm curious though, if I'm not getting into like touchy territory. So your little one is what, 18 months old?
My son. Yeah. He's 18 months.
And then you have your partner and you're all in one space. And yeah. New York is known for having apartments that are lower on the square footage than places mm-hmm. maybe in other parts of the country or the world. How's it going? What's that been like? Is your partner working from home also? Their job
he's working from home. He's been home with the little one since he was born. We've been working through that. His industry has actually been hit a lot harder than mine. He works in live events and production. Mm. So when you talk about pivoting, like he's really having to do that a lot more. Mm-hmm. We're in a two-bedroom, 2-bathroom.
Oh, you have a 2-bedroom. That's okay. That's
oh great. Yeah. That's the only way this would be working.
100%.
It takes a lot of coordination. I mean, I think I start each day with kind of my rundown on here are my meetings, here are my calls, here's when I'm not available. So in terms of my boyfriend, like we do really well. It's the little one, Ali Yoon, who really doesn't care. And it's so funny. He's actually like enamored by the screen and I think the people on the screen. So like, he just wants to be in front and talking, you know? So I like, I have to literally lock myself in his room. It's the only room in the house that will lock, like the door. Mm-hmm. So I take all my calls from his room. And that's why we're talking this evening and not in the middle of the day, because 9 times out of 10, he's probably beating on the door trying to get in, but just because he wants to, you know, be in the mix. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some days are harder than others. And, you know, I've also just accepted the fact that, like, this is a reality. This is what working from home looks like for mothers, for parents. So oftentimes, like, you might be on a call with me and see him running around in the background. And it's like, that's the only way that I can keep him cool, calm, and collected and just look over it, you know?
Yeah, but I think that's sweet. I think most people really like that part about this, getting to see families and pets and stuff and see the humanity that's behind the colleague a little bit more. I think it's fun that way.
No, and I mean, Joa, back to your question, I think maybe that is something that I would like to bring back to the office, is that sense of humanity. Mm-hmm. I mean, I work in new business, so I'm often talking to people that I've never met before. You know, so we're hopping on video calls for the first time, and it's kind of, you know, our introduction to each other and also our agency. Mm-hmm. Normally you do that, you know, in a conference room and you've got the environment is perfect. And now it's mm-hmm. like, we're literally stepping into each other's home, and it's kind mm-hmm. of like, hey, accept me as I am.
Yeah.
So it's been a really good icebreaker for a lot of conversations.
Yeah.
Really? And I think just makes for better working relationships, because we're starting from this, you know, equal place of craziness mm-hmm. that we're all coping through, you know?
I agree with that. I did some office hours where I was mentoring some founders a couple of weeks ago, and my office is in, you know, it's next to my bookcase. It's right when you walk in my house. And one of the things I liked about it was that I was sitting, you know, doing the video chat, and someone asked a question around if I would recommend any books or anything to read. Mm-hmm. And I was like able to just kind of like wheel my chair around and reach and grab a couple books and show them, you know, and it's something that I wouldn't be able to do in an office situation. Whereas in there, I was like immediately able to say, oh, here, and show the cover instead of saying, oh, I'll email you the name of the book or write down the name of the book, you know? And to your point, I think that the idea of people feeling even more connected, because A, there's a shared struggle, like we're all kind of in this together. And then B, if you're on a business call right now, people know that you're trying to get something done. You know, there's not, we're not doing that, we're going to waste each other's time type of calls. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things I hope stays even after this, is that, you know, I don't get on as many calls or conferences that are kind of like just to have people talk, but are really driven, like, hey,
I'm trying really hard not to take this personally right now, but like, it does get directed at me.
It's not directed at you.
But honestly, like, sometimes I think for now too, like, I've been having calls where you kind of want just to talk and release. You know what I mean? You'd be surprised, like, how many people are kind of opening up to strangers, you know? Because of that shared struggle, it's like, you kind of have to bake in that first 5 minutes of, like, an honest catch up. Like, how are you doing? You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, normally you would ask that before you got started, and then it's like, oh, I'm great, whatever. But, like, I've actually had a few calls where, like, people were actually sharing, like, what they were going through. I've often been that person, like, well, my 18-month-old is having a meltdown out here and I'm trying to focus, you know? So I think, like, that part of just, you know, yeah, we'll get to the business, but, like, really checking in on people and caring, you know, mm-hmm. and showing that you do is really nice, too.
I really hope that sticks around. Who knows what the new normal is going to look like, or how long we'll be able to like go with incorporating these new sort of like silver linings from the quarantine back into our regular lives. But I hope I have optimism that the humanity side is going to be more of a part of our comings and goings than it is.
I mean, I think it has to.
Yeah, and I think one of the possibly unintentional benefits of this is that, you know, people, your son's 18 months, so he's probably not cognitively fully grasping that you're working from home versus normally you go to an office.
No, he thinks it's a party going on.
But people that have kids who are, you know, let's say 3 to, you know, teenagers, they may be seeing their parents work for the first time ever, right? They may they may not really know that you know how the bills are paid. So I think that there may be some positive. There could be some negatives, I guess, too. But I feel like there could be positives. Like for me, I didn't get to see my mom working, but I knew that she was working. But if I could see her in action and like learn how she's applying these adult skills, you know, that you don't really learn until you start working, you know, in your 20s or whatever, I feel like there's got to be some kind of benefit to that.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like take your child to work day every day in perpetuity.
I mean, I've seen that even with my boyfriend, like just him seeing kind of what my days look like, you know what I mean? I think that's, it's, this is also revealing of like, yeah, I'm at work, but like, no, these are the, you know, this is the amount of people that I'm interacting with on a daily basis, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's good.
Well, I want to know a little bit more, if you don't mind changing gears here, about the stuff in New York that you are missing and the stuff you're looking forward to going back to, specifically in the realm of food and drink. So talk to us about it. Talk to us about where you can't wait to go, and tell me about where you're going when you break down and you're like, I just can't make dinner tonight. We're getting takeout.
So that already happened. The last time we went out, which I think was not this past weekend, but the weekend before that. So what is that, like 10, 12 days ago? We had takeout from our favorite Jamaican spot in the neighborhood, Patty Hut. And that was the first time that we had, you know, got delivery or takeout in the last, what, 50 some days. But I just really wanted some brown stew chicken, and I can't make it myself. So we caved. But what's funny, pretty much everything that I've been craving, I've figured out how to make myself. So like, I've been making homemade pizzas. Last week I made falafels for the first time ever.
Did you you just have that stuff in your pantry?
Yeah, you know.
I guess.
There was a run that had to be made, but we figured it out. It's actually not that hard though. Yeah, but we had chickpeas and, you know, we got the herbs or whatever.
Did you use a food processor? I'm getting down to brass tacks here.
So funny. No, I did not use a food processor. We used the blender, but I just got a food processor for Mother's Day. So like, I'm super thrilled about that. But like, I honestly, I miss all the neighborhood spots. You know, I miss the coffee shops around our way. I definitely miss, there's a few bars that we frequent, and a couple that are actually like kid friendly. Chilos which I love. I just miss the option, you know what I mean? I miss the option of being able to eat out at our regular spots or also try new spots. I mean, with a kid, like really dining out is kind of the highlight of your evening. So we did that a lot, and so that's, I think that's just the hard part. It's like, one part is the food and the other part is just like, that's your routine and just your one time to kind of be out and socialize. And now we can't do that.
Nope. Socializing. And, you know,
I live in Bed-Stuy. Like there's always new places popping up. We've, you know, got our staples here, and I feel like I really just want to go by and check on them.
Yeah.
But that's a whole other conversation.
Isn't that pizza place, is that place Roberta's in Bed-Stuy?
Roberta's is in Williamsburg.
Well, I'm thinking about, there's a place that I spent all of September in Bed-Stuy.
I remember.
Angelica was recording her album in Brooklyn, so we stayed there. And I'm trying to remember a name of a restaurant. I think it was like Otis. Man, was it called Otis?
Was it on Tompkins?
I would ask her. I would yell out and ask her. I don't remember the name. But there, to your point earlier, like, yeah, I'm wondering if, you know, New York especially is the kind of place where the rents are very high.
Oh, yeah.
I'm wondering, you know, when this all, you know, when we get through this, if New York's going to be the kind of city where you will have a super high turnover in local businesses, local restaurants, or if the fact that it got kind of hit hard, you know, will these businesses be able to get rent abatement? Will they be able to get certain things that allow them to kind of reopen and give it a go? Because I think that's so much of what makes New York, New York, and especially the neighborhoods, yeah. right? It's like the places yeah. that are there. And if, you know, this is all done and then you go walk around and the coffee shops aren't there, the place to get the bodega to get, you know, bacon, egg and cheese bagel or whatever isn't there, it doesn't yeah. feel the same. So I'm almost wondering if, you know, in where you are is the kind of place that's, it's going to feel more different than like a rural place where maybe they're just going to kind of try to race to go back to normal as quick as possible.
Yeah. I mean, I'm nervous about that too. And that's why I'm like, there's so many spots and I'm like, I just want to go in and check on them to see how things are going. I think that there's, you know, Bed-Stuy, we've lived here for 4 years now. There's, like I said, there's always new places opening up. So like, there's this Mexican spot, maybe 4 or 5 blocks away from me, Boca Santa. Maybe they had 6 tables in there. The chef was actually cooking everything behind the small bar, literally down to like, you know, homemade tortillas. And it was awesome. I think they've only been open maybe 6 months. Mm-hmm. You know, is she going to be able to bounce back? Who knows? Like, I know mm-hmm. that some businesses, if they're not doing takeout, they've kind of shifted to, I believe Boca Santa was doing or is doing groceries services. So I think that's what some people are doing, that to kind of
sell the inventory and stay afloat. You
know, to stay afloat. But I really think it depends, and it's also going to be up to the community to support them, you know.
I saw something today that said, like, I guess in recessions and depressions, like it's the large cities with the highest population density that typically bounce back the most quickly. Mm-hmm. But in this situation, because of the details of it and the nature of the pandemic, it's going to be cities that have a high level of education and a relatively low population density that are going to do
wow.
better. So like Austin was on the list, Minneapolis was on the list, Seattle was on the list, Durham, but then like Miami is a place, New York is a place, Chicago is a place that it's like, well, I mean, if you're doing the math, it's yeah. just kind of grim.
You know what? I wonder though, when I hear that, and Susan, you can tell me if you've sensed this, but you noticed, I'm sure over the last maybe 10 years, there was, it's kind of this mini exodus from New York, where a lot of people were moving to LA, a lot of people, yeah. you saw that, right? And I'm wondering if this is the type of thing where a lot of people are like, wait a minute, maybe this is the time to kind of go back. Maybe I can kind of have more room. Maybe I can get a nicer place if the rents are flat. Maybe I can go back and start my own thing now or whatever. I almost wonder if maybe New York will take a hit in the near term, but this could be an occasion where a lot of people who did move to, you know, LA or wherever, if they're like, you know what, I'm going to get back to New York and kind of get back into the creative scene and pursue something that I've been holding off on.
Yeah. I mean, I really don't know. I mean, I think I've been having a ton of conversations with friends just on like, okay, what does life look like after this? And what, or how are our values changing and shifting? Because I think that's also happening. Lifestyles shifting, if you look at even from a work perspective, you know, Twitter just announced that they're going to allow their employees to work from home pretty much indefinitely. I think people are really looking at like what's really important for either their life stage or their lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So whether that means, you know, returning to their homes, I'll tell you, I'm not going back to Chicago anytime soon. So just put that out there. But I think we're going to see a lot of different movement. You know, the point that I also wanted to make was what makes this whole thing very tricky is that there's no real timeline So it's really hard to anticipate, like, you know, we know that there's light at the end of the tunnel. We just don't know when and where that is and where it hits. So normally if you could, you know, anticipate or make some assumptions, you have an idea of like, okay, we're about 3 months out of this. So this is what this may look like. This is what I want my life to look like. But I think we just don't have that. And it's like, we've never had to deal with so many unknowns at once. It's so hard to tell, you know. I have friends, that did indeed leave New York, are living in LA. There's memes about like the difference between quarantining in New York versus LA. So like, LA looks really good right now. You know what I mean? I think New York is going to be a bit of an anomaly. I will say, you know, there's a spirit and energy here that I think will always protect its essence. But how people are moving and at what pace, I think is really hard to tell at this point.
And I'm
speaking for myself too, because like, I can't believe we were just talking about, do we want to move to Jersey, which is something that I no knocks to Jersey. But I never in a million years would have thought that would even be a part of the consideration, but it's like, we want a little bit more space. Yeah. We have a 2-bedroom, but we have no outdoor space, you know? So I think people are entertaining all sorts of things now that they probably never would have before.
It's great. Yeah. It's a fun little thought exercise, you know, step outside of the rules that we have all imposed upon ourselves that are somewhat arbitrary, you know, as far as like what our life can look like and what's available to us, what's feasible, and just like play dress up a little bit, which actually leads me to a question I was hoping to ask you. So I, you know, not to be, you know, too much of a shifter here, but I thought instead of just focusing on all of this, we could throw some hypotheticals into the mix and ask some fun questions. So I'm curious, if you had to go back, and Joa, this question goes for you too. If you got to go back to college as a freshman, like, you know, just like blink and start over, and you pick a totally different career. It's not like, you know, we're all 35 and going back to undergrad, but like you get to redo it with the knowledge that you have now. What's the career you're going to choose?
Oh, gosh. I always said I wanted to be a teacher. I just had no patience.
Oh, that seems important.
Seems important. I would probably have gone into, I would go into education.
Okay. What would you want to teach? Like what age?
I always said, probably high school level.
I think you would be like, amazing at that.
Seriously. Yeah. Thank you. I think, I would want to get them old enough so that I could have like real conversations, maybe not worry about if a curse word slipped out. And I would probably teach either like English or history.
I hope you do, or I hope that like alternate reality you do.
I'm like, I'm sitting here thinking like, at no point in my school did I have a Black female teacher. And
think about that. Yeah.
How much different my perspective, I think, even on just like English and literature would be if I had a Black female English
teacher. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I always say that too, because when I think of like the teachers that really made impressions on my life, they were my English teachers in high school, one in particular who I'm like still friends with and in touch with. And then in college, my African American history teacher or professor was phenomenal. I mean, I learned things in his class that I had never been taught. And I had that as a senior in high and in college. So, I think about my experience with them, and I'm like, I would love to be that person for someone else. You know,
that's cool. I feel like I'm not too far off from that. I feel like I'm just a huge cinephile. I love movies. I love scripts. I feel like I would pursue that. Even right now, while, you know, Hollywood slowed down, that you can't go to the movie theater, there's no production happening, I feel like there's so many stories to be told. Like, even just right now, there are so many stories that people could want right now. You know, when you're at home, you have time to watch Netflix or Hulu or whatever it is you're watching. And I feel like there's so many even regular stories. Like every day, I read Humans of New York,
and there's
there's so many, you know, quote unquote normal people who have these just unreal stories. And every other story, I'm just like, man, this could be a movie or this could be a TV show. And I feel like I hope that's something that does come out of this is we don't need, I mean, there's obviously a time for escapism. There's a time for fantasy, but I feel like there's so many real stories that people need to understand, and that there's so much division in the world and in this country especially. And I feel like if politics felt like Humans of New York, then I think that politics would be so much better. And I feel like if there was a way to tell more of those stories, then there would be way more connection.
If we just had more of like 15 times as much of the Becoming documentary from Michelle Obama.
Yes. Southside Queens.
I about cried watching that thing.
Why did you stop at about? Why didn't you just go for it? Let it happen.
I definitely had a few moments where I was about to cry. I cried
at the trailer.
Yeah. I miss the Obama so much.
I know. We all do. Man, it's unreal. Like that feeling, even just hearing them talk, hearing her talk, it's like you get reconnected to that feeling that you had, you know, where you're like, okay, they got this. It's we're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So a bunch of my girlfriends and I, you know, we talk about Michelle Obama all the time. Obviously, we're from the same neighborhood.
You are?
Yeah, South Shore.
Why did you lead with that? My God.
No, it's so funny. I literally just posted on Instagram today. There's a really cool piece of artwork on this building that's down the street from where she grew up. We grew up maybe 6-7 blocks away from each other, obviously different time, but mm-hmm. I mean obviously the Obamas are amazing for a number of reasons, but her story resonates with me so much because our experiences are so similar, you know, from a Southside Chicagoan Black woman perspective. I just relate to her in so many different ways, and it's just awesome to see that magic and the fact that, like, you know, it's so funny. I'm also watching The Last Dance. And you know, you talk about, oh, everyone wanted to be like Mike, but literally, like, I look at Michelle Obama and I see myself, you know, even just her references, some of the things that she says is like, those are things that I say to my girlfriends. Like, you know, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Oh, so you know what? Here's a segue. Did you watch the Erykah Badu, Jill Scott?
Of course. Battle? It was like 3.5 hours.
that talk about something that also brought me to tears. That it was just, they were effusing so much love appreciation for each other. And it's like, I was talking to Angelica about, you know, yes, we can't go to concerts. And, you know, we had actually the last concert we saw the week before the shutdown, not even a week, maybe 3 days, was Jill Scott. She came to Austin and she did a show.
Oh, awesome.
It was unreal. And it's like, you know, those tickets were like $130. But I was like, you know, yes, it was better than watching her on Instagram Live, but I would have paid money for what I saw on Instagram Live.
Absolutely.
And I'm wondering if that's something that's going to become real too, where people are starting to figure out the kind of content that works in this kind of live setting, and then saying, hey, you know, because Erykah Badu already did a situation where she said, hey, Venmo, or, you know, send some money for the band and all that kind of thing. And that worked. So.
Well, and she launched her own platform.
Mm-hmm.
So she's,
I think it's really going to depend on something.
A few steps ahead.
Yeah. It's just going to depend on the kind of music you make and the kind of energy you're able to create, because some people are just not going to translate to a remote setting.
Radiohead, Tom York and Radiohead probably doesn't translate, even though I love their music, because it's a little bit more dreary. You know, you kind of need, you know, it's more like headphones situation than it is like, okay, I'm going to watch this and feel like uplifted.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Timberland and Swiss really got lucky, but they figured it out. I think what they're doing with Versus, like, it's so awesome because there's this commentary that you're never really able to experience that unless you're in the studio with them. And then how does that happen? You know? And I think, like, even going back to the Babyface Teddy Riley one, which was epic yeah. for a number of reasons. It's awesome to see these individuals interact with each other and really share the stories that everyone wants to hear. It's like now we're, you know, having that opportunity to be kind of like a fly on the wall, you know? Mm-hmm. And also there's like that humanity part, you know, that, yeah. that yeah. we're getting. It's like, yeah, sure, you can go see these people perform, but to get them talking to their peers and having this banter, like, it's awesome, you know?
Yeah. yeah. I'm calling it right now. I don't know which artist, but an artist is going to do a live recording of their album or something like that while oh, they're sure. doing an Instagram live. Like, I feel like that's a content barrier that somebody's going to break.
But wait, okay. I don't mean to be blasé about it, but isn't it really boring to actually sit and watch somebody record just because they're doing the same thing over and over and you're not actually doing the whole song. You're doing like three words over and over and
see,
over
I
again.
Think that's part of the process that people want to see and hear, you know?
I mean,
that's, maybe boring, that's just me as like a music head.
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, I've been in the studio with Angelica while she recorded her album, and yeah, there's a lot of monotony to it. But I do think that if you're a super fan, which I think even more so, things are getting to where they're even more and more niche.
Yeah.
That I think that there are going to be people who are going to be like, yes, I'll listen to every note that Lizzo plays on the flute, or I'll listen to Adele attempt that high note 13 times before, you know, like, I think
that's fair. That's fair.
Adele, don't... by the way, have you guys?
Yeah, she looks, okay. She looks different.
Yeah, well,
but those are like superstars. Those are like the top echelon of the entire industry. So like yeah. anybody who's indie or who's like just trying to break into the scene, God forbid they don't have an album yet or a following yet. Like, how are they going to get it? It's the same thing yeah. as what we're going to eat when this is all over, you know, the dust settles and all we're going to have is live streams from Adele and we're going to have to eat at the Olive Garden in Times Square.
That sounds terrible.
No, I know. I don't really think that.
I mean, I think people are going to start taking risks though. Like literally when I get on Instagram, there's more than a dozen people live at all times. I actually have a couple friends who are artists and are constantly singing and doing guided meditation, vocals and sound baths and things like that. And like, you'd be surprised. I think there's an audience for everyone. And I think people are also just, you know, kind of willing to put themselves out there a little bit more.
Yeah.
During this time.
Our designer, Larry, and our longtime friend and partner, Gary, both have a lot of really strong opinions about IG Lives and like Uh-oh. Who deserves to have them. And the like cringe moment when you accidentally click on one and you're the only person in it. And you're like, oh my God.
Happens to me a couple times a day. But you gotta show those people love too.
Yeah, you know? I know. It's a brave new world out there for all of us. Hey, okay, wait, I have another question for you just while we're talking about consuming stuff. This again goes for both of you, especially since Joe is such a self-proclaimed cinephile. What's the funniest movie you've seen lately? The funniest thing you've seen? Because we all need a lot of laughs right now.
So the tricky thing about me and movies and television is that I cannot stay awake. So I've like halfway seen a bunch of things. Like Becoming, I watched early in the day. The Last Dance, I don't watch, you know, the live. I watch the re-recording or the rerun because I can watch it earlier. So the funniest thing, oh God, I know I just mentioned this. It's not a movie, but it's going to be the Teddy Riley babyface
yeah.
versus oh, and the man. Memes that followed.
It was, you know, I'm glad that they were able to recover and do it on a makeup date, but it talk about taking risk. That's a situation where I feel like you have these two guys. I assume they're in their like what, late 50s, early 60s. Like I assume yeah. they're up there. They're probably yeah. up there.
Yeah, 50-ish.
Yeah, they got to be in their like well into their 50s, and they're using Instagram Live. My assumption is probably for the first time.
And
you know what? In a lot of ways, it was funny for us to watch, but at the same time, I think what's really happening right now while everyone's at home is we have an entire generation of people, namely people above, let's say, you know, people 45 to 65 that are adopting these channels at like a rapid pace. And that's why I think there's so much more room now for, you know, like not just using Zooms, but people like used to consuming content live. Like one of the things I'm expecting is that eventually these award shows like the Grammys and the Oscars that were having declining ratings, I feel like one of them should go on live, like do YouTube live, do IG live or something, because it's like people want to see those aha moments and they kind of want to see the meme moments. So I think that's something that could happen even more easily if they did it on like a tech platform instead of on like ABC, CBC, that kind of CBS, that kind of thing.
Those are uncharted territories right there. I don't know.
Oh, but okay. So Kate,
what about your movie?
My answer to your question about the funniest thing I've seen. I don't know, Susan, if you've been watching this season of Insecure.
Yeah, of course.
Oh yeah. Well, Kelly, the girl who plays Kelly.
Oh my gosh, oh, she's my insane. Lord.
She is Love insane. Her. She is like, she steals every scene.
Yeah, she
like,
really does.
She literally steals every scene. Like I'm waiting for her to have like her own TV show after this or whatever.
Yeah.
Because
I'm sure it's coming.
She's gonna be a star.
She might be the highlight of this season, honestly. That was funny. Oh, I did watch that. I watched the latest episode earlier today.
Oh yeah, where she uses the British accent.
Oh yeah.
I almost just ripped my headphones out of my ears to not hear what y'all are gonna say about the latest episode because I haven't watched it yet. So I just want you to know that was.
Oh, okay, good. We didn't give too much away.
Wait, you're 2 days behind. Come on, Kate.
I know. Sometimes I like to, especially with a comedy that's short, I like to build up like several so that I can watch a few in a row. And I tried to do that with Insecure for like a couple weeks and then I just broke. So now I'm watching them. I'm just trying to delay the gratification a tiny bit because once it's over,
it's over.
Then I'm just twiddling my thumbs again.
That's how we were with Ozark. We tried to really, spread that out a bit, but
that's the one I haven't gotten into Ozark. Ooh. I feel like it's too late for me now.
It's not too late.
Really? No, you recommend it?
Into it as well.
You couldn't get into it either?
No, we are going to, but we wanted something a little bit more uplifting right now.
Oh, well, that's not it.
Yeah. We're like, well, let's come back around to that
one. Yeah. No, I hear you. No, it's really good though. Should definitely check it out.
All right. That's well, maybe good. It's next in the queue. Okay. I got one more question for you both. Susan, when we revisit traveling, when the world opens back up, it's going to start small and it's going to start nearby. Where are you going to go once you get to take a big blowout trip someplace? Once it's, the floodgates are open.
Oh, wow. Definitely to the beach, probably somewhere in Mexico.
Okay.
I mean, there's nothing fancy.
It's awesome. We don't need to have a fancy answer.
Yeah, I'm like, I just want a beach. I want good weather. I love Mexican food and tequila and mezcal. So, like, I'm good to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you've dialed in what your needs are and you know where to go to get them.
Yep, and I want them all right there in that one place on the beach.
We talked to another local yesterday, Ronit, who lives in Mexico City, and I made her go through a day of like no holds barred eating, like what she would be eating. And it was, I regretted it as soon as I asked her because it's like, well, I can't have any of this shit.
I got to listen to that one.
Yeah, it's coming up. Joe, what about you?
I mean, I'm really sad because we have every summer the last few years, we've been going to Europe. And this summer we were planning on going for a pretty extended trip, like at least 4 weeks and probably 6 weeks. And obviously when this happened, first Italy and then Spain, and it stopped that real quick. And so whenever things open back up, where I really want to go is the Nordic countries. Like last summer we went to Copenhagen for the first time, which is absolutely unreal trip. And so this time we were planning to go to Stockholm first, and Lollapalooza happens in Chicago every year, but they also have one that's happening in Stockholm.
And oh, wow.
We were going to go, and the headliner was Kendrick Lamar. So I was just oh my Lord, we're going to see Kendrick Lamar in Sweden. And it was going to be unreal. And so that's obviously not going to happen. But I still want to go to Stockholm, to Oslo, and all the Nordic countries, both because the food is amazing. It's very like farm to table. very fun. Mm-hmm. But then also just the architecture is unreal. Like walking around Copenhagen last summer was just, it was like walking around in the scenes in that movie Inception, where they're like constructing. It was just like walking around like that. It's so unreal.
The dream.
Oh, wow. That's
funny. Joey, you should check out this place called the Aurora Borealis Observatory that's in Norway. It's remote, but it's a place you can stay at. And it's like, you don't, it's not a hotel or anything. It's like a huge amount of land that has tons of different like athletic options available for your leisure, whether it's summer or winter. And then all of the little places that you can stay in are like these, you know, super charming little Nordic houses, or they're like, you know, like geodesic domes. Oh, you can see the whole sky. That's definitely, I feel like, a trip that should be on your northern itinerary.
I'm adding
okay. You heard it here first, people.
Wait, so
I need to put that on my list too.
I know. I just mentioned something I wanted to ask you about this, Susan. With your work, you do a lot of work around major events. Some of your clients have, you know, they have, you know, whether it's influencer events or if it's things around things like NBA All-Star, Super Bowl, whatever. And given the outlook near term, at least on like things like big concerts, big festivals, whatnot, if, you know, kind of similar to Kate's previous question about where would you travel, if only one big event could be brought back in the next 12 months, what would be that big event?
Oh my goodness.
That you didn't have to work the event. You were just going for fun.
I was just going for fun. I mean, the one that's top of mind is probably Essence Festival, because it happens to be in one of my favorite cities in the world, New Orleans. Mm-hmm. So I'd probably, yeah, I mean, and that's, you know, an event that I've worked for over a handful of years. I would say Essence Festival, July, hot July in New Orleans. You know, I don't think there, besides Chicago, there's not a better city that you're going to get in the U.S. than New Orleans, you know, food wise, cocktail wise, like, you know, they're checking all my boxes down there. So
yeah, that place is great.
I'm very fortunate. That was the last trip we took before the shutdown.
Yeah. But then there was like a huge great outbreak there.
Yeah, we flew back from New Orleans the day that Austin basically announced that there was going to be a shutdown. We were like unsure if we should go and all that. And then we pretty much stuck to ourselves when we were there. We didn't like, you know, stay out late on Bourbon Street or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But it definitely felt normal when we were there. But once we came back, it was like very clear that like, okay, things are slowing down. And we almost felt like we skated into New Orleans and out like right before it was going to be super problematic.
You did. Wow. It was like a little revolving door trip to get
there. Yeah. Wait, all the restaurants, everything was still open?
Oh, yeah. Everything was open. Yeah.
This was like before South By had even been canceled, I think. Yeah. It was like right at that cusp. Yeah. And then like right when you got back was when it was like, nope.
Yeah, because I knew that COVID was going to be a thing. I mean, I remember texting you, Kate, and Larry, and basically saying, hey, like, go ahead. And this is like mid-February. I was like, hey, stock up now because the prices on this stuff is going to go up and stuff's going to run out.
Oh, wow. You were saying that in February?
Yeah, because I was
reading
reports. And we have some, a handful of investors in Hong Kong. And Hong Kong obviously was kind of the epicenter when SARS had the big outbreak. And so Hong Kong may be the most prepared city in the world for something like this. And so I was just reading the news there and I was like, man, I feel like this is coming. So thankfully, you know, I feel like for local or for us, we kind of started mentally preparing for this before South By canceled.
Oh, for sure. I remember I kind of like rolled my eyes. I remember this conversation very clearly. And I was asking you, I was like, you're a prepper. And you were like, listen, I'm going to spend $200 so that I don't have any problems if the ship goes down. And I was like, fine, Dad, I'll do it too. And now it's like, oh my God, $200, baby girl. That's like a drop in the bucket for what you need to spend to prepare yourself.
Wait, what was the $200 for?
$200 of like supply, like, okay, oh, I'm going to make sure my pantry is stocked. And like,
I got hand sanitizer, I got mask, I got everything like.
Oh, because you did all that in February.
Yep. I was like, let me go ahead and get, you know, 4 masks or, you know, some, so we got toilet tissue, all the stuff that people ran out on.
But to be fair, when you had told me that, I remember the day before that, my friend's boss had told her that she needed to start hoarding gasoline. And so it was just a really confusing time. Like, I knew that was insane. And so I was just trying to make, you know, make sense of it all.
I'm not mad at that.
I'm sorry, I doubted you.
We definitely went, we filled up the tank because gas is probably the first thing I think of. Mm-hmm. Like,
but now it's so cheap.
Now it's so cheap, but like, we still don't want to have to go and deal with, you know, the fill up. And then we went to Costco and spent like $700. We actually went a little overboard. we spent like $700.
I get it.
And like, I'm nervous. So like, I'm like, I don't know when we're going to get out of the house next. So like, let's get, you know, we got the flour, you know, the toilet paper and all of that. But that
and
was
the chickpeas.
Like,
and now you can make your own falafel.
We got the chickpeas. Yes. We got the chocolate chips for all the cookies that I've been baking. But that was mid-March. Like, we were kind of late. We still have not been able to get Lysol or Clorox. I wish we were doing that in February. But
you give me your address offline. I'll send you some Clorox. I got you.
I will. We need it.
All right. So, hey, Susan, where can people find you online? Do you have any handles you want to share with the listeners?
I have one handle. It's at Suzay, S-U-Z-A-Y.
Suzay on Instagram, Suzay on Twitter.
Suzay on Instagram. Suzay on Twitter is a whole other story. I'm there, but you don't have to follow me.
All right. Well, I think I speak for Joa and myself when I say thank you so much for hanging out with us for the last hour. We really appreciate it. And, you know, we're thinking happy thoughts for everybody who's affected by this, but especially for our, you know, our friends and family in New York. So
thank you.
Hold
it
down.
You guys.
We miss you too.
You too.
We'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Awesome.
I'll let you know when I start on Ozark.
Yeah. Yes. Same. Can we have a group chat?
Please
about
do. Please do. Okay. You got 3 seasons, so all right, catch up.
I know what I'm doing tonight. Okay. Bye, guys.
All right.
Bye, everyone. Be safe.
You too.